Quest for Gold, a weekly wrap-up of everything going on headed into the Summer Games in Tokyo. I'm Ryan Burrow. The International Olympic Committee just wrapped up a three-day-long executive board meeting. IOC President Thomas Bach announcing...
The IOC executive board has decided to propose Brisbane 2032 for election by the IOC session in Tokyo as host of the Games of the 35th Olympiad.
The IOC has also decided for Paris 2024 to split the mixed kiteboarding event into men's and women's individual events and to replace the 50K race walk with a mixed gender team race walk and approved a new one-venue competition format for the modern pentathlon. Those moves equal out men's and women's competitions in the next Summer Games. The IOC has also introduced the 29 athletes who will be part of the refugee team. They will be represented by the Olympic flag. The athletes will be competing in 12 different sports. They'll enter the opening ceremonies behind the Greek team. The third version of Tokyo's health safety playbooks will be released later this month, and this week we learned that foreign media will be monitored by GPS to make sure they follow all the health protocols laid out for the games. Journalists will sign a pledge to follow the rules and will be restricted from free movement for the first 2 weeks upon arriving in Japan. USA Basketball has entered into a partnership with MGM Grand that'll put the men's and women's training camps in Las Vegas in July. The teams will be playing 7 exhibitions there against other Olympic qualifying teams. The men will start July 6th. A roster is expected to be named in late June. The women's camp will start July 12th. Tennis star Naomi Osaka has pulled out of the Berlin WTA tournament after exiting the French Open, leading many to wonder if she'll also back out of Wimbledon and possibly the Olympics. She previously said she wasn't sure if the Olympics should happen amid the current pandemic. Chicago White Sox TV broadcaster Jason Benetti has been tapped to broadcast Olympic baseball for NBC this summer. He told WGN Radio's Bob Surratt.
I'm very fortunate to say that I will be doing the semifinals, the bronze and the gold for the baseball team. And what's really fun about it, and I had no idea when I got the call to see if I'd be interested in doing it, I had no idea there were going to be so many former White Sox on the team. I mean, Todd Frazier, David Robertson, John Jay, and then there was a minor leaguer by the name of Eddie Alvarez, who we never saw in the majors here. But Eddie was actually a speed skating Olympian in, I don't remember what year, but he was in the Olympics in speed skating, and he's on the team as well. So he's going to end up going and, you know, barring some change in the roster or something, and being an Olympian in two separate sports. So there are a lot of White Sox people actually on the U.S. roster.
Of course, U.S. baseball qualified for the 2020 games by going undefeated in the Baseball America's qualifying tournament that wrapped up last weekend. But the roster, come July, may look a little different. The players cannot be actively on an MLB roster, and since last weekend's championship game, Luke Williams has already been called up to the Phillies. He hit his first career home run in the bigs this week. That means he probably won't be available to Mike Socia and USA Baseball come July when they head to Tokyo. The manager has a difficult task again, maintaining a solid American roster with many moving parts headed into the games. I had a chance to speak with him via Zoom about that. Joe Brand of WGN Radio and the voice of the Kane County Cougars joined us as well.
How did you pull all this together, getting this roster together and executing this tournament as successfully as you did? I can't imagine that was easy in such a short time frame.
Well, fortunately, USA Baseball has an extensive scouting reservoir of connections with scouts, not only, you know, just deep within all the baseball played around the world, but most importantly right now is what's played in the U.S. So we had a big pool of guys that everybody felt were terrific ball players that were qualified. The depth of baseball in the United States is terrific. So although it seems daunting to try to look through 700 players and of guys of free agents and get to the team you want. I think everyone was very methodical about the type team we thought we needed to qualify, and putting together was a little easier in that sense to target players you wanted. But what happened also is, as you target players, they accept, you think they're inked, they get called up to the big leagues. So you still need that depth chart and need to be able to adjust from there.
Are you thinking about the best possible player for each position? Are you thinking about the best possible lineup, or are you thinking about who would work well together. I'm sure that, you know, you've got to deal with that in the majors as well, is how do I compose this roster in a way that not only has the best people out there, but also mesh well together?
Well, the only way you're going to win is to have on-field chemistry. You hope guys mesh well together, and you need that with the on-field chemistry of your pitcher-catcher relationship. You know, your shifting, the double play combination, all the things that go into winning a ball game, especially on the defensive side, are very, very important. So I don't think any team in baseball or any team playing anywhere in the world wins without pitching. And we're putting a lot of focus on getting starting rotation we feel can help us reach our goal. And certainly you need a deep bullpen that's going to hold lead. So right now for our priority is to get our pitching secure. We have some position players that we've already committed to that are excited to help us, that have helped us in helped us in the qualifiers. So what our team looks like as we go to Japan the end of July and where we are now could be completely different. You just have to be ready to adjust.
Tell me a little bit about the ex-major leaguers, kind of how those connections were made, how you made those decisions. Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? I know there are a couple players here too that I had questions about. Ben Zobrist just recently retired. I wonder if he was available. Adam Jones is another name that's been kicked around. Like, how do you compile the athletes who have already played in the majors?
Well, the response in the qualifiers was unbelievable. And I had seen some of these guys play, obviously, in the major leagues. A lot of the younger players, or all the younger players, really, I had no idea of their talent level. These veteran players reached out to us and said, hey, I want to be part of this. You know, you had Homer Bailey, you had David Robertson, you had Todd Frazier, Matt Kemp, Edwin Jackson. All these guys, John Jay, all these guys just said, hey, I want to put that uniform on and I want to help, U.S. qualify and get to Tokyo. And so that gave us a great sense of just what our team could be, the momentum, the leadership moving forward. And really it was we had too many guys who contacted us for guys that we could keep. And so we had to make some, tough decisions.
Obviously, anyone you put on the roster is someone you expect to perform well. But I mean, I assume a bigger part of this as well is helping these younger athletes on the roster come along and kind of lead them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, I mean, the talent level on the field is what's going to win. You need that chemistry on the field, that talent. And a lot of these veterans, even though maybe their skill set wasn't quite what it was when they were in their prime, are still terrific ball players and played very well for us. Todd Frazier played great for us. Edwin Jackson pitched great for us. Homer Bailey had a huge start for us. So all these guys contributed. And I think that as a younger player, just seeing how the veterans didn't panic, they methodically went through their business and were ready to play every day. It's a great learning experience for the younger players.
Is it hard not to look at some of these former major leaguers and not see them from 4 or 5 years ago and think, oh, I remember when Todd Frazier did this against me, or I remember when, I assume those are constantly running through your head.
Well, there's no doubt. I've seen all these guys play, and some guys really played well against us. I think what you have to really cut off is where are we now? How are they playing now? What's their skill set now? What can they do? You can't look and say, guys, I remember when you stole third base against us. Well, maybe they're not going to be stealing third base right now. You have to, get acclimated with what their skill set is. And, that wasn't very difficult to do. These guys, they understood where they are, and they all played very well.
I want to talk about some of the younger guys. The name that comes to mind, Luke Williams, had quite a week this week. Yeah. He left you and then got called up to the bigs, hit a home run. Pretty emotional. Yeah. I mean, you've got to feel tremendous love and respect for him after what he's been through. But on the other hand, too, this hurts you, because now as you look to Tokyo, you're realizing he may not be available to you.
Well, yeah, but you can't help but be happy. Any player is going to the major leagues. That's their dream. And although maybe they're not going to help us in the Olympics this year, to reach that dream is important. And Luke had a great couple weeks with us and started off his major league career in a storybook fashion. So we're very excited for him. He's a great kid. He's talented. And I don't think he's going to be the only name you're going to be hearing about from the team that we had. You're going to see you're going to see a lot of guys get to the major leagues, you know, and Jimmy Sherfrey was already caught off from San Francisco Giants. He was on our club. You're going to see a lot of these guys move on and get their major league careers on track.
Tell us about some of these names that we may be hearing about in the coming years up in the big leagues.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know when these guys are going to make the big leagues, but when you look at a guy like Jaron Duran and you look at a Tristan Casas, Eddie Alvarez at second base, I'm sure he's been in the big leagues, but he'll get back into the big leagues. Cole Lazari, our catcher, Eric Filet in right field. These guys all played at an extraordinary level, and they showed that, you know, they didn't panic in pressure games. These were all five pressure games that we played, and they played very well. So you're going to be hearing from most of these guys in the future when they start their major league careers.
Is it different managing these international games than it is in Major League Baseball? I mean, obviously the talent pools are a little bit different, but I mean, is there just a different strategy involved?
Well, you can't stub your toe in these games, much like playoffs in the major league. So I think as far as a regular season game, there are some things that are different that you might do with a team in April and May if you're in the major leagues, as opposed to what you would do in September, October. Best way I can put it is these are pennant race / playoff / World Series games that you play in these tournaments. You can't stub your toe. You can't play. You can't afford a bad start from a pitcher. There's a little more leeway as we get to Tokyo because there's a little it's not as restrictive. But in these qualifiers, we had to play at an incredible level to reach our goal, and fortunately we did. So yes, there are some differences from managing just a major league game during the season as we would in these international games.
Do you like that? Do you like having your back against the wall every single day?
It's the playoffs. I think the fact now that we're going to Japan is like we just, we just clinched the playoff spot. That's basically what we did. So we're excited about that. Every pitch has more meaning as far as the impact on what your goal is. But I think the real key is to get these players to understand it's still a baseball game. You have to go out there and play free. You can't put added pressure on a situation to say, gosh, this is a playoff game, or if we don't get it done here, we're going to be, in dire straits. That can't creep into your mind at all. You need to go out there and play baseball. And I thought our guys did a great job of playing baseball free. They weren't, no burden. They weren't worried about it. If a mistake happened, they got out there and got after it, and they played very well.
Have you ever been to Japan before?
I have. I was with the All-Star Tour back in 1990. A bunch of Major League All-Star guys, we got a chance to tour Japan. And they play, Japanese baseball is at a very, very high level. So I think any team going over there is going to have to, play well to win.
And the fandom should be interesting, too. It sounds like I know from what I've heard on the softball and baseball side, it's going to be crazy. So I'm sure that the Olympics will be no exception.
Well, I just don't know. Unfortunately, we're still, in some COVID protocol. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be by the time we get over there or what the, what the attendance would be at these games. But, you can be assured that if there's two fans there, they're going to be very, very loud. They're very excited about baseball there, and we're excited to get over there.
What are you hearing about the safety at these games, and what are some of the protocols that you guys are going to have to go through upon arrival, prior to arrival?
Well, just like we were in the bubble down in Florida and we were tested every other day, I'm sure it's going to be a similar situation to that. I've not heard anything yet. We still have about 6 weeks, six weeks before we go over there. I haven't heard any definitive idea of exactly what it's going to be like. And I think it's still fluid. Hopefully everything's going to go in the right direction and we're going to be able to get over there. Have not heard anything about some of the precautions and some of the processes you're going to have to go through.
Do you feel safe though, as of right now, that when you go there, everything will be fine? Cause I know there's been a lot of chatter about these, they should cancel the games. They're not going to be safe,
No, I'm safe. I think most of our traveling party will have been vaccinated, and hopefully everything will we'll be in line, and we can go over there and have these players experience what will be a once in a lifetime opportunity for them. And we hope they have a great outcome.
Is the goal gold? I mean, can you put that and tell everyone, look, it's the USA. This is our sport. We've got to win gold or bust, or is that too much pressure?
Well, that's our goal. Our goal is you go over there and you want to win the top prize. There's no doubt about it, but we're focusing on the process to get there. And as we talked about in the qualifiers, our goal is to qualify, but you can't lose that pitch to pitch focus. You've got to win every pitch of every game. And that's what our goal will be. And if you're going to climb to the top of the mountain, I'm not looking at the top of the mountain. I'm looking at that next rung in front of me. And that has to be the way we go about this tournament, and hopefully we'll reach our goal.
I want to get back to the topic of the high leverage games that, you know, for some of these younger guys that are being pulled from the minor leagues. I mean, you're basically going from individual work and individual progression to not only a team effort, but playing for your country. I mean, number one, how valuable is that for these young players? And do you witness that transition where they start to realize, like, this is the closest to the World Series that I'm playing in right now at this moment?
Every player that I've come in contact with understand that have played minor league baseball understand the importance to help your team win. So that's already in their fabric. They understand that. They understand there's going to be there're going to be some things that are going to be some sacrifices you make. Maybe you don't get as many at bats you wanted to be, or maybe you're not the exact role you want to be. This is an understanding of the team first concept and what's best for the team. So that's not an issue. But I think the act of being part of a team that has lofty goals and an understanding of how to reach that goals is a lesson that I hope every young player can experience, whether it's in a minor league playoff experience, a pennant race or a playoff game, or getting an experience like this in our Olympic qualifying and now in the Olympic Games. I think that's very, very important to a player, because the bottom line is that competitiveness you has to lead to winning if you're going to be a successful baseball player. Maybe you don't win as many as you want, or maybe you don't win the World Series every year, but you have to understand how important it is to learn to win. And I think these players get a taste of that in this tournament.
Do you feel like major league organizations will be more inkling to lending some of their top prospects to a competition like this because of the individual growth it gives the player and just the value it holds?
Yeah, well, Major League Baseball has been very, very supportive. Every general manager that we spoke to has wholeheartedly supported our club. There are certainly some players that maybe either aren't quite ready for this, that are just trying to get their feet wet in their season. Some guys didn't perform real well starting off their season, and some Major League general managers, rightfully so, said, look, we want to keep him here and get him on track for our organization. Some pitchers were a little banged up and had to be removed. So I think that that this experience is certainly important in a player's development. It's going to be on a case-to-case basis as to what's best for that player at this time. And, that's really comes down to the general managers in baseball.
You mentioned qualifying, drawing the comparison to making the playoffs. Is this like the coolest part of managing, you know, the high intense leverage situations just right away, right from the get-go without a grueling long regular season?
Well, you have time to prepare for it in the major leagues because you see how your season's going, and some games in August, maybe they become pennant race games, and you have to get used to doing things a little differently. We're thrown right into this from game one. So where you have a total understanding of your team, if you're a Major League Baseball manager, you have a total understanding of your team, what they can do, what they can't do, the roles of players, how you can use them the best. We really had blinders on coming into this tournament, and our pitching coach, Dave Wallace, is very, very experienced and did a terrific job in getting the roles in our bullpen set up so we can put these guys in a good position. And fortunately, it worked out.
Do you think baseball needs to be fixed, pace of play, all that stuff? Do you think it's fodder? Or do you think there's a real issue?
Before I fool around with the pace of play, I think baseball needs to get a little more creative on between inning breaks. If you watch golf and they have a segment called playing through where you still can see the action, but you're showing it, you know, you're showing your commercial. Baseball needs to come out of the Stone Age, which how we're selling marketing between innings. And we need to be more progressive to cut these between inning breaks from 2 minutes and 10 seconds down to maybe a minute, 30 seconds. And also in playoffs where some of these breaks are literally 3 minutes and 20 seconds. That's exhausting. So I think if you want to change the length of a game and modify it, you need to grasp and to get those, you know, 12 to 15 minutes back of excess commercial time and redistribute in some other way. Maybe start the inning with the commercial still there, picture in picture, start the inning and do that. As far as the game and the strikeouts and analytics, I don't believe that you should limit shifting. I think shifting is a byproduct of a type swing that has been taught to accentuate slugging percentage. So if we're trying to accentuate slugging percentage, what you're seeing maybe minimally tick up at the cost of team batting average of 30 points, then so be it. Because if a guy's trying to get launch angle and trying to lift the ball on the pull side, the miss hit's going to be a ground ball on the pull side. So why would you play your infielders anywhere else? So I don't believe in limiting shifting. I do believe in rosters being at stuck at 25 instead of 26, because I think the more pitchers you get into a game, the easier it is to minimize starting pitching, which I think should still be the heartbeat of your club to get those good starters out there. So what I'd like to see is rosters at 25. I'd like to see no limit on shifting, because if hitters are going to be one-dimensional, then we should be able to play one-dimensional infield where we can go over there and shrink the field the way we want to. So I think the game eventually will get back to the importance of what a starting pitcher is, especially during a 162-game season. You know, you need to go out there and get those 16, 17 outs from every starter to keep your bullpen where it needs to be. So I would hope we would start to look at that and maybe change some of the hitting techniques that are being taught to say, look, we're going to put the ball in play more. It is not good to strike out. I mean, strikeout is not just another out. We've won championships on productive outs. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. That's the beauty of this game. And I think it'll get back to it. I do.
Of course, we wish Mike Socia and USA Baseball nothing but the best headed into Tokyo. Stay tuned to Quest for Gold every week for updates as we head into these games. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you next week.